Today, the world is demanding more of products and packaging. They need to meet consumer demands, be sustainable, and travel through different channels. Simply put, companies that make things need to respond faster than ever to change. So let's go beyond the shelf to understand how industry leaders in food and beverage, beauty, CPG, industrials, and more are driving innovation in their products and packaging. Hi, I'm Laura Foti, and welcome to Beyond the Shelf, the Product and Packaging Podcast, where we interview the people behind all the amazing products we use every day. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Gary F. Graetz. He is president of G Consulting Group, a strategic communications consultancy and advisory firm. He has more than 25 years of corporate marketing, brand, labor, and strategic communications experience. He is a globally renowned, recognized, and respected expert in change management and business transformation, corporate communications, and corporate strategy execution. He counsels senior leaders and boards of directors from global organizations in the areas of thought leadership, labor management relations, organizational effectiveness, and change management. His expertise, specifically in change management and business transformation and strategy deployment, is regarded globally as his work includes General Motors, Volvo, Caterpillar, PepsiCo, Takeda, Harley-Davidson, Vale, Dell, HP, Kimberly-Clark, Merck, Viatris, Medtronic, Dell, and Ipsen, to name a few. But what a big few that is, right? Prior to GCG, Graetz was principal at Real Chemistry, a global health innovation company with offices globally. The firm, which went from $47 million to $450 million during his tenure. He is also an adjunct professor at Syracuse University's Newhouse School of Public Communications, where I first met him more than a decade ago. Gary, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Has it been that long?
You know, my team tells me it has been. You know, we're here live at Spec Summit, and Gary is the closing keynote. And you might be wondering, you know, Gary's got a little bit of a different background than our typical guests. Normally, we talk to people who are product development professionals, packaging professionals, the people really close to making the products. But when I was putting the agenda together this year and I was talking to many of our customers and I asked them, what do you want to learn? Their answer surprised me, but maybe it doesn't surprise you, Gary. They said they want to learn how to better enact change across their organization because many of them are using extremely legacy systems, siloed teams and processes, and they want to learn how to use data to collaborate. But what they're running into is it involves changing the behavior and culture of an organization. And so I would just love to get your high level thoughts on, you know, does this surprise you or is this something you're seeing with all of your clients?
No, it's not a surprise at all. Or I think the bottom line is you're moving from the technical to the personal. And when you're talking about change, you really have to understand human behavior. You have to understand why people operate the way they do or don't. And we have to recognize and respect the fact that today there's just so much out there. There's so many different aspects of working that needs to be addressed by the workforce, but also by leadership, that the old ways don't work anymore. And so we have to kind of think about how do we motivate and engage people in a way that makes them want to do something that is going to be meaningful, not only to the company, but to them.
Absolutely. I want to highlight that you've been talking about this for a while. Yeah. I remember taking your class. I can picture the classroom. And listen, I don't have many memories of those days. You know, I was having a lot of fun too, but you know, this isn't new, right? Products have been changing faster than ever, right? And as a result of things moving faster, companies and people are having to change faster. And so we do need these new methods. And you've been on the client side of this as well. So you were at General Motors. You know, cars have transformed tremendously. Tesla has come in and has disrupted the market. Now everyone's talking about electric vehicles or they're talking about hybrid vehicles. But can you talk a little bit about what it was like during your tenure at GM and how you lived through massive change?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously General Motors to me was a microcosm of what change has been about over the last four decades. And, you know, being a large global company that has so many tentacles into society and economy and you know, just the way the social fabric of the world, we were changing every 24 hours. It seemed like there was another change initiative. And learning from that, really, you know, you were able to see that it wasn't the fact that people don't want to change. It was the fact that people were not given the right cues to change. They weren't given the right direction. They weren't given the right impetus. They weren't given the right rationale. They weren't given the right tools. And so I think what I've learned from all of that was that, particularly now, as you point out, the industry has been disrupted entirely. And I think companies like GM and others are kind of chasing companies like Tesla. And you can't, because Tesla has such a strong story that you can't mimic that. You can't reflect that. You can't reiterate that. You've got to create your own story. And so a lot of the change work that's done, even on a process level, what leaders fail to realize is you have to look at the macro picture. And you have to understand where people are today before you can move them to someplace else. And I think that's where the failure comes in.
Absolutely. One of the takeaways we had from the CIO panel today, so we had CIOs from Colgate, Javi, and Mesa Beauty, and they talked about needing to involve their IT counterparts early. I think we would argue, you know, I'm a student of the Newhouse School and know the importance of communications. I would argue you might want to involve your communications team too. So why might people want to involve communications teams in the process of digitizing their supply chain?
Well, it's simple, because people don't move for technical reasons. They don't move for engineering reasons. It doesn't mean it's not important. It's very important. But they move for personal reasons. They move to understand. They move to comprehend. They move to actually involve themselves and get a level of understanding that allows them to make sense. The problem is when you involve, let's say, in a technical change or an IT change, very, very important. But if they're not working with communications to figure out how you move people, then it becomes a religious discussion and nothing gets done. And yeah. So people get frustrated because, you know, and the refrain is, well, people don't want to change. People will change if you give them the right cues to change. That's the key.
Absolutely. You're spot on as always. One of the things I think about is the way communications leaders can be true business partners. And you really taught me this. And I remember the aha moment when I realized I didn't just want to be a communicator. I wanted to help make business decisions. And when you were at General Motors, I believe Toyota came out with the Prius. And can you tell the story? This is the story I remember all those years later of when you got the call about what to do about this.
Yeah, well, Toyota, basically, they came to market first with a hybrid vehicle. And the unfortunate thing, or the ironic thing, is GM actually had the technology before Toyota. But GM had a culture where you had to run it through a financial model, and we couldn't make money. At the time, there wasn't any interest. There wasn't any appetite. What Toyota did, they couldn't solve it through a financial model, but they ran it through a marketing model. So they introduced the Prius and basically upended the entire market. They became the green company. And so GM was getting a lot of pressure at the time, being called a dinosaur and so on and so forth, as were Chrysler and Ford and others, but GM being as large as it was. And what we were asked to do as a communication function was to talk to the board about how we were going to respond to that. So it's the typical understanding that, well, communication is going to PR this. You know, we're going to have messages and we're going to go to the different media channels and platforms. And we didn't do that at all. What we said was it wasn't a communications issue. So when we met with the board, we basically put up a slide that said build a hybrid. And what that did was it engaged the board for the next several hours to figure out, all right, how are we going to do that? And so we came away with a whole game plan of, we're going to put 1 million of these things on the road. It's going to be the Saturn Green View. This was the price point, blah, blah, blah. So we used communications as a means to solve a business problem, not use communications to do communications. And I think that's, to me, that sums up what this really is about at the end.
It's a very bold move. I think you're downplaying it a little bit. I now report to a board of directors, and I know if I came to a board meeting they told me to prepare for, and I told them, I'm not going to give you a communications strategy. I'm going to tell you to build hybrid. I know the kind of heat and lively discussion. And that always struck me. And,
you know, I shared earlier at Spec Summit in my opening, we talked about what it means to be a change maker. And really simply put, a change maker is someone who takes action to solve a problem. And oftentimes, as leaders, we're called upon to do the hard thing.
That's correct.
And doing what's right, it's often hard. Doing what's right is not easy. That was the lesson I remember learning more than 10 years ago. And I will tell you, in my career, when I was at General Electric, so working at a large company, and I remember making hard decisions where I felt like I was going to put my job on the line if things didn't go well. I remember calling upon that story to give me the courage to make the right decision and not just do what was easy.
Or what people expect of you to do. Mm-hmm. I think that's the bottom line. I think you said it perfectly earlier. You can walk in the door in any capacity, an accountant, a lawyer, a designer, whatever. But as a communicator, you can either be a communicator or you can be a business person who employs communications to get things done. If it's the latter, you're going to look at the business completely different. And I think that's the goal right now, is that if you involve communications in change, you're actually going to accelerate the ability of the organization to adapt. If you don't, I think what's going to happen is you're going to keep running into these walls and you're going to not understand why. Because to you, as a technical person, it makes sense. But it doesn't make sense to the masses.
I was just having a hallway conversation with someone about this. And this company, I won't name names, is leading the front on recyclable consumer packaged goods. Mm-hmm. Like, they're winning awards for it. And they said years ago, they went to try to make the business case. And the marketers were like, we can't really make this work. Yeah. And they're like, it's not about cost, it's about capturing a new market, right? And they went ahead and did that. And it reminds me so much of your GM story. Yeah. If you're working in packaging and you're not doing sustainability, you're going to be the next, I hate to use the word, like GM, you're going to get upended by a Toyota who's going to come to market fast, who's going to say, you know what? We're not worried about the business model right now. It's more important that we're right and we'll make it work and we're going to get consumer change. There's so many different ways to look at this problem. So if you're challenged with an organization that maybe doesn't want to be sustainable, go find that communicator and say, hey, you're talking about corporate social responsibility. Do you have the data to back it up?
That's exactly.
Make them your advocates.
That's right.
And create a coalition of people who are responsible for the organizational goals, right? There's so many ways to go about this.
Well, and again, it comes back to what you said a moment ago, which is it's always a mindset. It's always the lens you look through. So if I look through a lens that say, I'm going to follow this process, you know, there's an old saying in the healthcare industry, the patient died, but the operation was a success, right? I mean, it's like you can only kneel at one altar. So what altar do you want to kneel at? The process, or you want to save somebody's life? Similarly, I mean, if you're going to institute a major technological change, some type of shift in how you access data, how you inventory data, how you use data, you have to recognize that it's not a linear process. It's an iterative process. So you can't define you can't say, here are the six steps to get to heaven, because people got to learn on their own. And that's where we fall down sometimes. Again, it's the personal end of change that we miss.
I love looking at the list of companies you've advised, because one of the takeaways I have here, there's folks from these companies in this conference today. Mm-hmm. One of my takeaways is that these are the people who are at the forefront of change because they're thinking about their communication strategy. There's one in particular I want to talk about, and that's Caterpillar. Mm-hmm. I was making the joke that we managed to get a Caterpillar excavator here on our product showcase. It is a miniature model, although I would have loved to get the full size one. And Caterpillar is a global company, 10,000 plus suppliers all around the world, speaking multiple languages, operating in very different environments. And when we rolled out SpecRite to their supply base, we had a robust communication strategy. And I thought, wow, they are on the cutting edge of, they are thinking about this the right way. And it's ingrained in their culture, right? Like, every meeting we have with them, they start with, here's health and safety. And I'm like, we're not going to get, lose a limb in a software project. But I love it though, because it's the culture of excellence. It's the way they operate. It's the way they communicate. And that is so integral to deploying technology, especially transformative technology. Absolutely. What do you see? You know, Gary, a lot of the folks listening to this, they've never taken a communications course. They've never thought about stakeholder engagement. What are some of the tips and tricks you can give people who maybe haven't had exposure to this kind of training?
We'll be right back. Are you tired of managing your specs and spreadsheets, PDFs, or relying on suppliers to do it for you? Learn how SpecRite can help you digitize and take control of your product and packaging specifications to drive sustainability reporting, SKU rationalization, and better collaborate across departments and with your suppliers. Go to specrite.com to learn more. Now back to the show.
Yeah, a couple things. I think number one, you always have to step back from whatever you're doing and kind of widen your aperture and say, okay, what's happening around us? And what we know in a social and digital world is that you can't sell anybody anything, particularly employees. They have to discover. So whatever approach you're taking has to be a discovery approach. You have to allow them, right, to figure out for themselves, because you're giving them the info and you're moving them along a continuum why this is important. You can't tell them it's important. They have to understand it and feel it and comprehend it. So discover versus sell is very, very important. The other thing you have to realize is that employees have turned the volume off. They're not listening anymore. There's so much crap. So they're watching. And so they're watching how the business runs. And they're watching whether or not your strategy, you know, if you say you're customer centric and you just laid off 5 people in your call center, you're not a customer centric company. I'm not saying that there wasn't a justification for it, but I'm saying people will put that story together themselves. And so I think you've got to recognize that the big thing is, it's very simple, or to be honest with you, you have to make the change important. You know how many companies start change efforts and 3 months later, they're onto something else? Does all that, you know, bluster and stuff that they come out with, and they don't stick with it. There's not a consistency. And people have been through so much of that they don't believe it anymore. So it's the subtle things that sometimes will come up and bite you, because you're not, you're running a business and you've got all these priorities, and that all of a sudden what was once really important is now no longer important. The question is why? What happened for that to happen? You have to maintain some level of importance and consistency, or people won't believe you.
One of the biggest opportunities I see for folks trying to drive this change on the ground, you brought it up earlier, is why.
Yeah.
And I see people selling the why short all the time.
Sorry.
And they go and they say, we need this because it's going to make our lives easier. And I go, oh, like, I just get deflated, because I'm like, you're going to get skewered by the VP or the CIO. Because it's not that they don't care about your life, but that's not a business justification. Yeah. And we had Todd from Cummins go up there and say, we're going to save $1.3 million. Now they're interested.
Yeah, exactly.
So, to your point about communications professionals can either be communicators or they can be business communicators, I think every product and packaging and quality leader, you can be good at your function, or you can be business savvy at your function too.
Absolutely.
Know your business case.
That's
how you're going to justify the change. Point out how ridiculous it is.
Well, and I think, you know, going back to GM, when I first joined, we had 22 new product introductions for North America, which for a company that size isn't a lot, but it's still rather big. And when I walked in, the first thing I was told was, we have 22 new product introductions, and so we're going to go through all 22 and figure out what the plans are. And my first question was, well, okay, tell me how many are going to move the needle. And they're like, well, maybe 3. Well, that's all we're going to focus on, is the 3. What are we going to do? As a communicator, I'm going to do all of it. And it doesn't matter what's important. I'm just going to do all of it, because I'm going to do I'm going to do things right, which is what, instead of saying I'm going to do the right things, which is I'm only going to focus on the 3 that's going to move the needle. That's all I need to worry about. The other stuff, we'll figure it out. But if you don't look at it through that lens, you get caught up in just the stuff and the process. And again, you can't get there from here. The business no longer allows you to do that anyway. Business is too difficult. So it's important to, like you said, I don't care where you sit in the company, you have to have a business hat. And if you don't, you're going to be left behind.
And one of the things that I'm most proud of is I've seen people present here 5 years ago, 4 years ago, the number of people who've gotten promoted because they're able to start to articulate.
Yeah. Huge.
It's literally, I'm not saying it's because of this, but you see, I see them evolve. You know, we've had people become CIOs. We've had people become VPs and directors. And it's because you're able to elevate yourself and sit at the table.
Look, this is the first year I've been here, and I really enjoyed listening to the different perspectives and points of view. But what this conference does, I think, to your customers is it allows them to make the argument themselves. That's huge. If they can make the argument themselves about SpecRight or about whatever they're doing in terms of enhancing their business, you've won. Just like if employees can make the argument themselves about why they need the change, drop the mic, you're done. The problem is we don't always allow that to happen because we don't, to your point, provide the right foundation for them to actually understand.
Oh, that's a great segue. One of my favorite CEOs and someone who I really look up to is a woman named Jan Tharp. Mm. She's on the board of MSU School of Packaging. She was a former CEO of Bumblebee Seafoods. Mm. She's now a CEO of a food and beverage company. And I was asking her for advice on, like, as a CEO, what is the most important thing you do? And she said, Laura, you always need to surround yourself with young people and you need to listen to them because they'll tell you what you need to hear. It's not always what you want to hear.
That's right.
Not always how you want to hear it. And what it really reminds me of is it's all about people. And there's such a challenge right now with the changing workforce. And I don't think we're all double and triple clicking on this because it's not just the boomers retiring.
No.
We're a graying population. There's fewer birth rates. So generationally, we will have, you know, less people if we're not allowing for more, right?
Right.
And so the other thing I'm seeing is this younger generation has zero appetite for the old way of doing things.
Oh my God.
I asked someone to do something manually and they're like, why would I do that? Why would I do that? That's not my job. You know, and I'm like, well, I love it because they're all on TikTok and Instagram and they're just used to this, you know, they're even more of a digital native than I am. And they're going into these big companies and they're like, no, I just studied at the best school. You know, MSU is like impossible to get into. They're like, I worked so hard to go study packaging material science. I'm not going to go manage an Excel spreadsheet and cold call our thousands of suppliers.
That's right.
And they're demanding these new tools. And if you're a big company and you care about succession planning,
that's right,
recruiting the best talent, this has got to be part of your strategy.
That's your future. I mean, if you don't get your talent base down, you don't have a future. Everything else is noise, right? The talent is going to drive any business. But I think you hit on a very, very important insight, which is, companies, particularly leaders today, they know what they said. They don't have a clue what people heard. Hmm. And that's the difference. You know, you get a younger, and I don't want to just pick on the younger, but you get people from different backgrounds and perspectives. And what they hear about what you're doing is completely different than what you thought you told them. And that's where the disconnect is. So people will say, damn it, I've communicated this 1,000 times. This is my point about strategy. I've communicated my strategy. People are working with the volume off. They're watching your strategy. They're figuring out if, in fact, you're going to improve supply chain or customer retention. They're seeing what you're doing with onboarding and recruiting. You can't tell them anymore. And that's where I think the biggest, and I think you're right. I think a lot of it is, in fact, generational. You know, we can't, you know, particularly myself, we came from a time where, you know, when what we were told we did. And that's not the case anymore. So leaders have to rethink. They have to be more provocative. They have to show and demonstrate that they know what the hell's going on. Because if they don't, nobody's going to follow them.
It's true. And I mean, it's funny because as I've, you know, matured through my career, I look back and I go, oh man, I must have been difficult to manage when I was younger because I know I didn't like to be told what to do. I wanted to learn everything the hard way.
Actually, you were a great student because you were very inquisitive and you pushed. And I think that to me is something that you can't teach. You know, we talked about school. You can't teach curiosity. You can't teach people who want to find the cause and not work on the symptom. Communicators always jump to the symptom. We rarely look at the cause. And I think that's a problem. that's a problem for all of us.
Totally. What I've learned the most as a leader, though, to your point earlier of showing versus telling.
Yeah.
It's revealing and then allowing.
Yes.
It's saying.
Yeah. Great way to say it.
What, you know, it's including everyone in the analysis of the problem.
Yep.
And then saying, how might we fix it?
That's right.
Because if I, you know, that's what 23-year-old me would have been fired up about. I wanted to go help, right? I had so much energy, even more than I do now. And so when we've had difficult challenges as a team, we have an amazing group. I'll say to them, what do you guys think we should do? And you know, honestly, oftentimes they come up with better ideas than I was initially thinking anyways.
Of course they do.
And then they're like done in a week. And I'm like, oh.
Of course they do.
You know, but too many leaders though try to give the answer to employees. And
leaders think they're the smartest people in the room.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
So how do you get around that though, especially at a big company?
Well, I think big companies are having to actually move quicker than they've ever done. And I think a lot of it is now you're seeing it in the C-suite. You're seeing a lot of younger CEOs, CMOs, COOs, and CCOs start to populate that because you're seeing a much more open and transparent way of managing and leading. And that's just going to continue. And those that don't do that are going to be held. You're seeing it now. They're going to be left behind.
Yeah. So if we could recap, because I always want to make it actionable for our listeners. Start with the why.
Start with why. But you also have to, well, let's not forget, it's not only start with the why, you have to include the how. Mm. People need to know what they're supposed to do. Because a lot of this stuff is so superficial, so 50,000 foot, people can't find the way to get there. And it's not, you can't give them the roadmap. You've got to give them milestones because the roadmap is going to go like this, right? It's going to zigzag. It's not a straight line, but that's the power of it. It's iterative. So I think that's number one.
Mm-hmm. People need to show progress 100%.
Yep.
Building coalitions. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone. Building coalitions. And I think that building coalitions, and again, people mistake this. Building coalitions doesn't mean consensus. It means collaboration. And what you said earlier, allowance, giving people a chance to express. But at some point, you got to make a decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Showing versus telling.
Absolutely. Discover versus sell.
Yeah. Oh, I love that one.
Discover
versus sell. I don't think any of us do this well. One of the things, as a trained communicator, I never feel like I'm doing anything well enough.
But that's good,
right?
That's what keeps you motivated. And the reality is that people get. That's why I hate the word best practices because I don't think there ever is any. Mm-hmm. I can't take the Southwest culture and put it into GM or Dell or PepsiCo. The Southwest culture is unique to Southwest, but yet there's conferences all over, you know, how do you basically replicate? You can't, it's bullshit. So I don't know if I could swear.
Oh yeah. We're swearing on this podcast,
but my point is it doesn't work. So I think what you have to be is just open to, there are multiple, you might be successful with the same group this month and then next month, the same thing. You're not, because there's a lot of things that happen. You're dealing with human beings.
I love it. We've gotten some great takeaways. Is there, Gary, before we go into our rapid fire round, is there anything else you want our audience to know about communication and change management?
Nothing other than that, you know, communications is change management. That's the bottom line. Just like communications is leadership and communications is management. They're inextricably linked. And if you don't have those working in concert, you're not going to succeed.
Oh, man, Gary, you're taking me back to those days when I was in the classroom. This honestly felt like a masterclass, and I'm so excited for our listeners to get a chance to hear from you. We do a fun kind of rapid fire question.
Yep.
So it's called Kill, Keep, or Change.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a list of three random products. Gary doesn't know what these are. You have to keep one, kill one, or change one.
Okay.
So for you, we have instant ramen. I love instant ramen. Boxed water and to-go coffee cups. Keep, kill, change. What do you got? Go crazy.
I'm going to kill. What's the second one?
Boxed water.
I'm going to kill the boxed water. What's the first one?
Instant ramen.
I'm going to keep that. And the third one is
to go coffee cups.
I'm going to change that.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to change it other than I hate them because they never keep anything hot.
Mm.
So I don't know. Maybe insulate them to make it hot. I don't know. something.
Well, we have some packaging folks listening to the podcast, so you know, you might see this in the market.
Beyond the Shelf is presented by SpecRite, the first cloud-based platform for specification management. Say goodbye to spreadsheets, share drives, and legacy systems, and digitize your specs in a secure single source of truth. With SpecRite, you can easily share and collaborate on specs with other departments and across your entire supply chain network. Taking a spec-first approach enables you to accelerate product and packaging development, go to bid faster, report on sustainability, and ultimately spend less time chasing data and more time making amazing things. To learn more, visit specrite.com. That's SPECRIGHT.com.